Chapter 1, I know we're calling this gleanings, and we are attempting to glean through this second epistle of Timothy. And so continue praying for me that the Lord would grant me the wisdom to glean instead of, I don't want to get bogged down too much in something, but the text tonight has a lot to do with what we've already studied, and so it's kind of hard to break off right in the middle of that. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 5, and verse 8 will be our text for tonight, and I won't keep you too long. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. I just want to make a quick comment on that. It's amazing how Paul says unfeigned faith. It's as though Paul realizes there's many who have a feigned faith. It's not real. He's saying you have a genuine and true and real faith. It's not fake or hypocritical. That is in thee which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee, because I believe you have this unfeigned faith, wherefore, because of this faith, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore, because of these things, he just says in verse 7, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you bless our efforts tonight as we gather as a small group around thy word. May you, Lord, truly give us understanding. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with those who could not be here tonight, those that are ill. May you, Lord, just comfort them in this hour, those that are away. May you keep them safe, those that are working. We pray that, Father, you'd bring them safely home. Again, Father, we pray that you'd encourage and excite our hearts, challenge us tonight, Father, that we might examine ourselves to see the quality, Lord God, and measure of our faith in the light of thy word. And Father, where we be wanting, we pray that you'd increase it. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us and pray now that you'd bless us. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Having encouraged Timothy to stir up the gifts of God which was in him, and reminding him that God hath not given him a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, the Apostle Paul would now exhort Timothy not to be ashamed. Not to be ashamed or embarrassed. And that of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Paul, his prisoner. But, he says, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And you need to pay attention to the wording, and I'm going to try to help you tonight do that. Pay attention to how he's describing this in verse 8. Be not ashamed, be not embarrassed of the testimony of our Lord. He doesn't say, be not embarrassed or ashamed of our Lord. He says, but be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of Paul as prisoner, but, in the same breath, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. He didn't say the afflictions of the Christian life. He said the afflictions of the gospel according or in measure to the power of God. These divine exhortations are not given to a novice or a beginner of the faith, nor to someone who was slothful, indifferent, or uncommitted to Christ or His truths. These exhortations here are given to Timothy, who sat and learned at the feet of the Apostle Paul himself, and though timid, yet faithful and committed to Christ. Paul said that in chapter 1, verse 5. And it's important for us to understand that these are not exhortations given to a novice, a beginner of the faith. They're not exhortations given to someone who is slothful or indifferent or uncommitted. And I need you to follow that train of thought because I think it will help us understand what Paul is talking about tonight. Such divine exhortations and promises are not given to the slothful or indifferent, but to those who, though suffering under awareness of their own weaknesses and infirmities, yet who in their heart are faithful and diligent. Paul's exhorting someone who has proven his faith, Timothy. He's exhorting someone who's already proven his commitment, Timothy. So these divine exhortations are not given to a beginner in the faith, nor of someone who's not committed to the cause of Christ. In other words, Paul is not trying to encourage Timothy to do more for God. Okay? Paul is encouraging Timothy, who's already done a lot in the name of Christ. Remember, he's walked many years with Paul. As a matter of fact, in some of the epistles, you'll see Paul referencing Timothy. I sent Timothy to such and such a church to check out your situation. And I'm sending Timothy, and he's someone that you can trust and you know. And oftentimes in the book of Acts and Paul's epistles, you see how Paul trusted Timothy with the minister or the ministering. So he's not encouraging a beginner, or he's not encouraging someone who's not committed. He's encouraging somebody who's already proven his commitment and his faith for Christ. Beloved, that's important to understand, because it just proves that even those who commit themselves to the cause of Christ often need encouragement. And the promises of God are not for the slothful and indifferent. The promises of God are for those who have committed themselves, because they're the one that's facing persecutions and trials. Someone that's indifferent and slothful and not committed, they're not going to suffer persecutions. And that's important for us to understand. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, desireth, but hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." The sluggard or slothful, and we've looked at those verses before in the past, the sluggard or slothful man speaks often and loud of his desires, yet he remains uncommitted and indifferent. And that's a big word, commitment. In fact, it's missing a lot in the ranks of God's children today. And the slothful man, again, will speak often and loud of his desires, but he remains uncommitted to doing something. And if he does do something, he only does enough to appease his guilt while using countless excuses for his lack of labor and love for Christ. Again, Proverbs says 22:13, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." In other words, the slothful man will always find reasons and excuses why he can't commit himself to the cause of Christ. He'll always find reasons why he shouldn't be being more faithful. He'll always find reasons why he's not committed himself wholly to the Christian life. And to such, beloved, the divine promises and exhortations are not given. God, or Paul, is not exhorting or encouraging somebody like that in our text. Timothy has proven his faithfulness and commitment to the cause of Christ. Yet Timothy, he says, you're in danger of being ashamed or embarrassed about the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, someone who's slothful, or a slothful professor, could never be in danger of being ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, because they never commit themselves wholly to the gospel or the truth's sake. How can they be ashamed of something they've never committed themselves to? One cannot be in danger of being ashamed of something which he himself is not committed to. So this is a divine exhortation on all faithful, diligent servants. And that's amazing, especially, I remember being as a young Christian, I always wondered why I always had these temptations to be ashamed, embarrassed. I remember, good, it was an independent fundamental type church, and they had weekly soul winning, and some of you remember what that's like, and I was always scared to death to go on soul winning. But I knew I had to go, and I had butterflies in my stomach, and I was just always afraid of that, and always hoping that whoever was going with me was a good talker, because I didn't want to do any of the talking. And so every time I got to go with the pastor, I thought, whew, boy, that's good. But after a few months of that, the pastor, we were short on people that week, and the pastor assigned me over a young new convert that just had been recently saved. And not wanting to embarrass myself, I said, sure, that'd be fine. And so I went out with him, and we're knocking on the doors on the military barracks, is what they call it over there, concern, because it was a military church at the time. And every time we're knocking on the door, in my heart, I'm thinking, please don't open the door. I hope nobody's home. That's just being honest, because I didn't want to. What am I going to say? You stumble. So anyway, as the night went on, we didn't talk to a lot of people. And so leaving the base, I was thinking to myself, we have to talk to at least one. Here's a new convert. We haven't talked to him. We have to talk to at least one. So I'm kind of praying, Lord, let's talk to someone. But I've always heard these terrible stories about Roman Catholics. If you ever get a hold of a Roman Catholic, and this was always how they put it, you need to be very careful because they're very staunch, especially if it's a staunch Roman Catholic. And I was just always afraid of that. Well, we passed the phone booth. It was the last person before we got outside the base. And we passed the phone booth, and there was a GI in there. And so I told the guy, I said, well, let's talk to this guy as he's coming out. Well, he came out of that phone booth, and he was as big as a gorilla. And I thought, this guy's a big guy. And so I went up to him, and I was thinking, I hope and pray that he's not a Mormon or a Roman Catholic. And anyway, I went up to him, and I said, hi, my name's Ollie Shepherd. I'm from First Baptist Church, and I'd like to give you a tract. And he said, my name's such and such, and I'm a Roman Catholic. And I thought, I'm dead. And so I was just really embarrassed about talking to people, and I was afraid of talking to people. And it was because I was honestly ashamed of the testimony. I was embarrassed. And I would use an excuse that, well, I don't know what to say, or I'm not an outspoken person, or I'm not called to that. The emphasis in our text is not being ashamed of Christ. It's being ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The testimony is in reference to the gospel. You see, Paul was suffering persecution because of the gospel, and churches were suffering persecutions because of preaching the gospel. And so Timothy, being timid like he was, Paul was saying, Timothy, don't let them persecutions make you ashamed of the testimony or the gospel of Jesus Christ. Timothy was getting to a point where he thought, I'm afraid to say anything because I might be persecuted like others are. And so Timothy began to think about that. And so Paul warns Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Again, he knows he's not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our text emphasizes, be not ashamed, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony. And you know what, beloved? There's a lot of Christians that are not ashamed of Christ, but they're ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Of our Lord. And they're ashamed because they're afraid of persecution. They're afraid that people's going to laugh at me. They're afraid that people's not going to like me. In fact, one of those comments that you hear so abundantly amongst Christians when they're saying, well, they're friends of mine and I don't want to offend them. Why do you think you're going to offend them? Well, I don't want to be too stern on them. Well, what's being too stern on them? You see, again, there's that spirit of being ashamed, that ashamedness, if there's such a word as that, but being ashamed of Jesus Christ, embarrassed a little bit of the gospel, of the testimony of our Lord, ashamed or afraid or embarrassed because of persecution. If we thought people would embrace what we're saying, you know what? Every Christian in this world would go up to everybody they know and tell them about Christ if they knew that they would receive them heartily and say, that's wonderful news. Thank you for telling about Christ. I'll be to church on Sunday. But the reason we don't is because we're afraid of how they're going to respond. We're afraid of persecution. People laughing at us, mocking us, maybe not liking us. In Timothy's situation, it's not so much of that as it was persecutions. Timothy was afraid that all these other people and churches and Christians are being persecuted for the testimony of the gospel. And Timothy, being timid, began saying, you know, I'm getting a little bit ashamed. And Paul said, don't be ashamed of the testimony. And the latter part of this verse proves that point. Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Now listen to this. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the what? the afflictions of the gospel. You see? So he proves that the testimony of our Lord, he's referring to the gospel. But be thou, he said, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Paul would put afflictions with the gospel as though to say, if you're going to preach or teach or spread the gospel, afflictions will come with that. And so be willing to be a partaker of that. You see, a lot of our problems is we're not thinking right. People all the time will say, preacher, why do churches or Christians do that? Well, a lot of it is because they haven't been biblically or scripturally educated. They don't know what Scripture teaches about something. And that's a lot of our problems. We're spiritually ignorant of what God tells us in His Word. And so Paul is telling Timothy here, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony, but be partakers of the afflictions which will come with the gospel, according to the power of God. If you're going to bear witness to the testimony of Christ, you have to realize and set in your mind, there's afflictions going to come with that. And once we get that settled in our minds, it's a whole lot easier. And it helps. The persecutions were many, especially against those who were preaching or proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Some of them were being put to death, banished from the land. And so Timothy began to be a little bit afraid. Timothy was not to be ashamed of such afflictions, which came with proclaiming this glorious testimony. And beloved, this is a big hurdle for many Christians to get over. It's still a hurdle I'm tempting to you. We preached in Germany 14 years on the street. And people say, boy, it just looks like you guys are at home. But believe me, you're not. If you're out preaching in the open air, and you're out in the surroundings where people didn't invite you to come, you can expect anything. And we got almost everything. People up in our face yelling at us. People yelling at us from far. What are you doing here? We didn't ask you to come down here. Take your God and go back to your church. And so every time we'd get up and preach, you had that nervousness about you. I mean, your hands started sweating. The butterflies started getting the stomachs. And mouth started getting dry. But once you got started, it was a lot easier. But it never changed. In 14 years, there was still that nervousness. And it hasn't changed when I preach, too. Especially if it's the gospel. When I get up and preach, it might look like I'm comfortable and I'm very self-secure. But believe me, I'm not. I'm always still very nervous about it. Because it's something very important and vital. And I know that it changes lives, eternal lives. And so it's very important. So, and even me, when I go out knocking on doors like we do on Saturdays, and we've stopped for a while because of ink and time and everything else, but hope to get back up started with that. But there's always at first that, okay, you know, those first one or two doors. But once you get started, you're going, this is pretty good. And then once you get over it, and you come back and you pray, you feel real good about yourself in a good way. Not a coveting way, but a good way. That, Lord, I was able to go out and spread the gospel. I was giving out tracts. I wasn't talking to people, and we don't do a lot of talking to people. When we go out on Saturdays, we don't say, hey, we'd like to talk to you about the Lord. We don't do that. Maybe we might do that someday, but right now all we're basically doing is we're saying hi, and our name is so-and-so. We're from Grace Baptist Church on Santa Ana Avenue. We want to give you some material and just invite you to come to our church sometime. And that's basically all we do. If they open the conversation, then we follow it. And sometimes that happens. But that's basically what we do. But still, at the same time, we're spreading the gospel seed, the testimony of our Lord. We're spreading it. And beloved, that's a good thing to be doing. Timothy's situation was a lot more severe than that. Timothy could be facing death if he continued preaching. And we have to understand that. Timothy could be facing death, just like Paul was. But Paul tells him not to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, Mark chapter 8, verse 38, we won't turn there because of time. I don't want to seriously get too much longer. Our Lord said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Now, I believe that though that verse has some reference to what Paul is telling Timothy, I think that verse in Mark is a little bit more severe than this one. This one here is the testimony of our Lord, the gospel. In Mark, the Lord said, if you're ashamed of me. So in other words, it's to me there's some differences there, even though principally they're the same, but there is some difference there. And Mark is saying, if you're ashamed of me, Timothy wasn't ashamed of Christ. But persecutions and afflictions was making him be afraid or embarrassed for the gospel's sake. So to me there's a difference there. So I wouldn't put these myself on the same level with one another, but they principally have the same truth. Basically, we have no reason to be ashamed of our Lord. And we definitely don't have a reason to be ashamed of His testimony. And to me, I don't know about you, but to me it's comforting to know that Timothy was in danger of being ashamed. Because Timothy was no novice. So that, in some strange way, that comforts me to make me realize that it doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord, you can still be in danger of being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, the gospel. And so in some strange way, it comforts me. Psalm 119:46 says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Why? Because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore don't be ashamed of the testimony, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And that word partaker is a wonderful, comforting word. Partaker means everyone who preaches the gospel is a partaker of its afflictions. Paul uses the same word when he talks about partaker of Christ's sufferings. Fellowship. Almost the same word. The fellowship of His suffering. So that's what Paul's doing. That afflictions come with preaching the gospel in a world that is lieth in wickedness. And so we have to realize that. And so that's what Paul's doing. Let me close with Paul's thought here in the same chapter, verse 12. He said, for the which cause... Well, let me go ahead and read verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause also suffer... I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul says the word again, ashamed. He says, I'm appointed an apostle, a preacher, and a gent teacher. He said, and for this cause, I suffer all these things. He said, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And beloved, people's asked me before, they said, well, preacher, how can I get over that nervousness, that embarrassment, that fear of telling others about Christ? Beloved, the best key of getting over that, the best solution of getting over that is not getting over Christ. Put it in just simple English. Because the more that you draw closer to Christ, the more that you're going to want to tell others about Him. And the more that you do that, the more that will overcome your fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And so that's what Paul's saying. I know whom I'm believing. So see, Timothy, even though he was not a novice, and even though he was faithful and committed to the cause of Christ, he followed in Paul's shadows and sat at his feet and learned many things. Even Timothy, because of persecutions, even Timothy was in temptation of being ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be therefore partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according in measure to the power of God. God will give you power, is what he means. God will give you the power, Timothy, to endure those afflictions. And he will, if we would just believe that. So, some very practical truths here in 2 Timothy. And I didn't want to skim over them too much. Again, this is just gleanings. But I felt that we needed to look at that in light of what we've already looked at. And may the Lord give us grace here at Grace Baptist Church not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. May God give us grace and strength and wisdom. and commitment to want to tell others about Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You've given us today. We thank You for Thy Word, and how we pray, God, that You would continue to open up our hearts and our minds to these things. Help us that we not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but help us to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Lord, I pray that, God, You give Grace Baptist Church the strength, the wisdom, the grace, the love, the mercy, the guidance, Father, that we might be a testimony in this community. Father, use us in Thy service, we ask, for it's in Christ's name.